Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 27th day of October, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is an open forum, so we do invite you to join us at any time. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambeth. Callers, again, are welcome. We do ask, however, that you please refrain from bad language and also keep comments or reports as short as possible so others can take part. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and on that website now we have added a few more pages. There's also a daily mail page there of items that I think are pertinent that I come across during the day. Also, there are archives of past programs, information about firearms and ammunition, reference material, learning sites, etc., etc. I just put up yesterday a very good link for anybody looking for PDF copies of hard-to-find books. It's a link to a website where you can download these books for free. No hassles, no pop-ups, no gimmicks. Very handy to have, especially folks on limited budgets, which many of our people are. We'll start off here with Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope and a future. Then we can go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of Yahweh God, and again, word could be translated as plan, is active and living, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Our Father knows what's going on, and He is with His children who do not allow the fear porn folks to take control of their life, all right? The adversary, our great adversary, on a spiritual and physical level, wants us to be afraid at all times. And that's why the scriptures tell us, and the Holy Spirit should be telling you, that a sign of an unbeliever is constant fear and anxiety about the craziness that's going on in the world. And truly, it is crazy. But the believer, that those that walk with the Father, though we see this calamity, and we understand, of course, that it's just completely nuts today, I mean 100% verifiably insane, that even though we see that, we remain calm and steadfast. Dustin Nemos sent out an email, and part of it he has, I will persist until I succeed. Those are the words of an overcomer. Last night I finished a very good book called Wild at Heart, which is basically a book about manhood, what it takes to be a man, the way boys and men are put down in this society today. The church world has not helped. The author of the book is a believer, so he's not denigrating the true message, but he's saying that the church world, and we know that on this program, the church world has done everything it could to basically destroy masculinity, true masculinity. So he brings out some excellent points in the book about being persistent and do not allow fear to prevent you from being all that you can be in Yahweh. He also sent out as part of that email, I do not want war. But if it must come, let it come in my time, so that my children may know peace. Wonder how many of our men say a prayer similar to that. As John Mark, by the way, John Mark just put up a brand new video yesterday talking about the winning right, a plan for governance, if you will, not in the form of government we have today, but governance going forward, called propertarianism, which is just a word that means property is sacred. If you think about it, even in Yahweh's law, it's primarily about property. And you have to understand, in the ancient times, women and children were considered a man's property. Now, a lot of people ruffle their feathers when they hear that, but you have to take it in the context of as it was given, okay? Property in the sense that the man is responsible for his property, to care for it. So not only to provide for it, but to look after it, etc., etc. So, and we talked about this too, in the Greek language, the word doulos is the term that is interpreted as slave. That's not what doulos meant. Doulos simply means that you have somebody in authority over you. And doulos was often used when speaking of a man's wife or wives and his children, because they are his property in the sense that he's responsible for them. As Yahweh told Adam when he put him here, I put you here to tend or keep the garden. Okay? Women, or Eve, came later and was put under Adam's authority. Okay, even in Genesis, the Genesis account, after the fall of Eve, it says that her submission will be to her husband, if it's translated correctly. Her submission would be to her husband. And all through the centuries, that's the way it's been. Okay, nobody took offense to any of this stuff today. Or I mean back then. Today, of course, you do, because everything has been weaponized against the white man. Everything has been weaponized. Even Yahweh's law and his perfect hierarchy of family, and that family extends to our communities, and the fact that, as it was brought up to me recently, we don't need central government, okay? When the Israelites asked for a king, they were warned by the prophets that, okay, Yahweh's going to give you a king, but let me tell you what's going to happen under a man king, okay, or a man-made government of any kind. They're going to steal from you. They're going to take your sons and daughters and put them in no-win wars. They're going to abuse you in all sorts of ways. But the people wanted an earthly king. I wonder why. Could it be that they thought, well, we can corrupt a man king to give us favoritism in our businesses and different things like that? And that's exactly what it's turned into. The people with the most money control the politicians. The politicians give what the people with money want. You and I can go to hell because they really don't give a damn about us. I mean, that's the facts. Where Yahweh said, I'll be your king. I'll lead you in truth and justice on a daily basis. But they chose that. I mean, it's just as insane as choosing Barabbas over the Christ during his trial and eventual murder on the cross. Why in the hell would you pick that? Well, they were coerced by the Edomite Jew that walked amongst them. And so our societies today do the same thing at the pleading of the Edomites as they walk amongst us with their shekels, putting it into advertisement, putting it into banking, putting it into industrial investment, etc. They use the power of the purse. Remember, the Bible refers to it as the terrible power of the purse. And why would that be? Because it is terrible. It creates pressures, it coerces us to do things we shouldn't do. And so we were led astray to follow after earthly kings, and we've been paying the price ever since. Now, when a beneficial monarch finally comes to power, great and good things can happen. So it's not the monarchy itself that's terrible. It's what evil men do when they get in positions of power, whether it's a monarchy, a parliamentarian system, or, as in the United States, a three branches of civil government under a republic. It doesn't matter what system you you put together. If it's evil, it will do evil things. And so we've got to be on the lookout for that. And we need to get back to being ruled by our Father and living on the land and living amongst each other under a basic set of rules, not this myriad of laws, regulations, and statutes that men come up with, which is totally ludicrous. But propertarianism sort of gets us back in the right direction. And so I would encourage folks to go to YouTube or BitChute, either one, excuse me, either one, and look up John Mark and watch that video, because it makes sense. And he talks about the law of reciprocity, which again is just biblical in nature. It doesn't have a biblical title, but if you look at what the law of reciprocity is as he describes it, it's 100% biblical. And it's a way for us to live amongst ourselves, honoring each other, without this large central government that has become a monster, a behemoth amongst us, and is causing all sorts of havoc. Look at the banking. It's near ready to collapse. Everybody knows it's going to collapse. It has to collapse. It's a fiat currency system. All fiat currency systems collapse. It's no different than saying, I think the sun's going to rise tomorrow morning in the east. Well, of course it is. Okay, no real science or discovery there. It does that every morning. Okay, well, fiat currency systems always, 100% of the time, fail. That's why our founding fathers, such as Roger Sherman, when he wrote the Caveat Against Injustice, warned us about the duplicity of a fiat paper currency system. It was thanks to Roger Sherman that we have the wordage in our Constitution that says nothing but gold and silver would be used for the payment of debt. Well, people say, well, that's just for payment of debt. Well, think about it. If the government says this is what you can use to pay your debts, which includes any legitimate taxes, that will instantly become your money, because that's what people will try to obtain. Certain parts of the world today, things have gotten so bad, people are starting to trade. I heard in South America somewhere, they're now buying and trading in cigarettes because the currency is completely worthless. So, again, we have little microcosms of how things can work out. So in South America, the government, again, failed. Gee whiz, imagine that. Government of men failed. And so the people picked up and said, well, we'll use cigarettes. You could use liquor or beer. You could use seashells. You can use tally sticks like the English did back in the Middle Ages. They just made tally sticks out of wood, and that became currency. That became basically an issuance of currency to facilitate barter. That's all it is. It's a form of barter. So it doesn't matter. This banking system is a magical spell over us by the spell casters, the same Nakash people that seduced Eve with their verbiage. So when you hear these bankers and government people and basically big corporations, international corporations, whenever they're speaking, they want you to believe that they've got all the answers. They want you to believe that they deserve to be in charge, when nothing could be further from the truth. Our Heavenly Father put us on this earth to walk as free men and women, to have liberty, true liberty. Okay, you don't have liberty today, folks. You know, I love the people that, you know, the land of the free and home of the brave. Really? Where? First of all, where are the brave? As Coach Davamir's huddle pointed out the other day on their video, the town of Dallas, where that poor boy and his father are struggling to keep the father's right to save his son from being castrated by his basically stepmother, if she's not the biological mother. She wants to castrate her boy and turn him into a girl, and he's only like 4 years old. It's like insane. But in Dallas, there are 11,000 churches. Can you imagine that? At least that's what the guy said. Maybe he meant 1,100. 11,000 sounds like too many, but even if it's 1,100, so 1,100 churches in the Dallas area. Do you know how many showed up to support the father at that courthouse with his God-given right to watch over and protect his son from this hag from hell who ought to be on charges of child abuse in front of a tribunal or Israelite judges, as Yahweh intended for our people? She ought to be in front of our judges, our men, being charged with child abuse. But the point of it is, 1,100 or 11,000, whichever it was, of these churches in the Dallas area, not one church showed up. Not one pastor, priest, or preacher, not one member of the congregations of those churches showed up in support of this man fighting for a God-given right. That shows you the state of the world, okay? I'm going to read a letter from a brother in Wales because it's apropos to what we're living in today. And I really appreciate the feedback I get from so many listeners. Okay, we're a tiny flock, all right? I understand that. We're not a Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones station with millions of dollars in budgets and millions of listeners. And we never have been, we never will be, because this message is very specific, and it's to a very specific audience. Okay, those with ears to hear and eyes to see, who truly love our Heavenly Father. And I hate to tell you this, but you're in a very small, select group. Now, that doesn't mean bad things, in a way. It's sad that so many of our people are bound for judgment. But think of it this way, and I have to think of it this way, that you're the cream of the crop. Excuse me, I seem to get a frog in my throat today a lot. So you're the cream of the crop, which means he's got plans for you. Because this is the testing ground. This time here on this earth, this plane under the dome, is a testing ground. And the enemy has had free will to deceive us for centuries, millennia. And he's testing to see who falls for his lies and who does not. Because there is great work to do. But he wants the best, okay? It's like the military commander that's got a special mission. Say the commandos or the Navy SEALs or whoever, they've got a very dangerous special mission. Well, if you're the guy in charge of this mission, are you going to want to take the guys that flunked out at basic training? Do you want the guys from the brig to be part of your crew, or do you want the best of the best, the bravest, the most resound, the Gideon kind of people, just like Gideon had to go through and weed out his military, his special forces, so to speak. Okay, you want the cream of the crop. So our Heavenly Father designed this whole plan. We don't need to understand why all the intricacies and a lot of people that have had bad things happen, like my nephew when he died at only 28 years old, it devastated my brother and his family, devastated them. He was the only child. All of their hopes for the future generations, the inheritance that they were building for him, everything went up in smoke when he passed away. Up in smoke. gone in one night, gone. And many times those kind of tragedies happen to us, and we sit around and we question our Father. But folks, a whole lot of this stuff isn't by His hand. My nephew didn't pass away because the Father wanted him to die. He passed away because he had cancer. Now the question is, how did he get cancer? Could he have been saved? My personal opinion is that, yeah. It's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. Just as my sister that just passed away in June from surgery, which created blood clots, which gave her a massive stroke, and she never came out of the recovery room. Okay, could that have been prevented? In my world, yeah, it could have. So, just remember that, all right? Okay, we got a caller here. Let me go ahead and I'm finally starting to get this software down. Randy, can you hear me?
Good morning. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I tell you, the enemy is making themselves known more and more every day. I mean, for a lot of years, even Obama tried to convince us when there was these mass shootings that there was no plot to take away our guns. There's no plot. There's no conspiracy. But if you've been paying attention to this, his fake name is Beto O'Rourke. But if people have been paying attention to what he's saying, this is how the Democrat, liberal, communist, whatever you want to call them, whatever name that they decide to use, because their names are always changing, left-wing, progressive, communist, whatever, they're all the same people. He is saying what they truly feel. Of course, a lot of them didn't want to come out and say it quite this way because they've been trying to deceive the people. But their plan has always been to disarm the American people. I mean, the foundation of our country was to disarm the American people so they could not resist. This has been going on for a long time, brothers and sisters. Do not be deceived by the enemy who wants to disarm you. And it is clear, if you've been paying attention, that is their plan. They not only, some people look at it like, well, they're just, you know, they're violating the Second Amendment. Folks, for over 100 years, they've been violating all parts of our Constitution. Don't, you know, for those of us, like the pastor has said, you know, we have the eyes to see, we have the ears to hear. These people are the enemy of our people and our country, and this battle has been going on since the beginning of time, and we are a part of it.
Amen, Randy, you're right. It's there's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said. You know, as free people, as free men and women, there's an enemy that always wants to subjugate us and convince us of things that aren't right, get us going off on tangents. And I agree with you 100%, Randy, and we've said that on this program. I know you know it.
And just like the churches, like you were saying, that would not stand with this gentleman who's simply trying to protect his own child. Look, folks, we're dealing with the government, along with the churches, who have allowed the butchering of our babies to go on in this country. The butchering of babies have been going on for most of us longer than our lives. Since the passage of Roe versus Wade, and of course, we could go back even further than that with the whole sacrificing of babies, which has been going on since the beginning of time. But folks, this is evil. This is something that is happening right now in our own country. And if you dare speak out against it, like the Center for Medical Progress did, exposing the whole Planned Parenthood and butchering of babies, how does this evil government respond? They don't say, wow, we didn't know nothing about it. Thank you. You're a hero. No. They try to silence you. They want to put you in prison for telling the truth. Know who your enemy is, and do not be deceived by them.
Amen. Amen. And like we said, never surrender your firearms no matter what you see going on, folks, because everything
you see is
kabuki.
Our Father Yahweh never told us to surrender to the enemy. He always, throughout all of biblical history, up into and including our founding fathers, protect yourself and your family and your countrymen and your country against these people. That is history. Never surrender. Never give in to these people. Because what will they do to you? They will imprison you. They'll try to silence you, murder you, butcher your babies. And I say to hell with all of them.
Yep. Amen. Amen, Randy. You're right. We can't fall for it. Again, we've talked about the fact that there's been plenty of authors that will tell you what happens when the Bolsheviks take over, and it's not pretty. And
here's what I envision, brother, that we shout from the rooftops. We will not surrender. Beto, if you want our firearms, what are you waiting for? Come and get them. We dare you.
Yeah.
Let's provoke them. They want war. Let's give it to them.
Yep, I saw some headlines the other day that some of the elements of the militia have basically come out and said something very similar to that, Randy.
Their talk of disarming the American people is not free speech. It is treason at its finest.
Yep, amen.
We're not talking about a disagreement of public policy here, folks. We are talking about the dismantling of our Constitution. That is treason.
Yep.
This is not a difference of public policy or some legislative law. This is treason, and that is what it is.
Yep. Amen. Yep. You're right on the mark, Randall.
Let me be very clear. I am very well aware of Mr. Trump's statement of talking about taking away the guns and then going to court. That is a violation of due process. I don't care who you are, Democrat, Republican, left wing, right wing. You start talking about going up against our Constitution. I don't care who you are, if you're Beto or even Donald Trump. You commit treason against this country, and there is consequences regardless of who you are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We're on the edge, aren't we?
I will not be easy on any political party. Just because I might agree with them on a lot of things doesn't mean I'm going to give them a free pass on anything.
Yeah. Well, are you picking up anything in your circles, any kind of rhetoric amongst the patriots, militia, different activist groups?
I believe people are on edge, because on one hand, like they think that somehow the Department of Justice, along with Trump, are going to just start rounding up all these traitors. And, you know, I'm of the opinion, I don't think it's going to happen. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. I just think that's a false hope. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, the end result, folks, is to some degree, all these people are in bed together. And it's them against us. And they've been violating our Constitution for over 100 years. You know, this isn't just going to stop because one man becomes our president. It's not going to stop.
Right. Well, you know.
But I believe the full awakening is on, because we're able to show people these videos. Look at what these people are talking about when it comes to our Second Amendment. We show them actual evidence. We have the proof. This isn't a matter of he said, she said, or conspiracy. This is what they are talking about, and here are the videos. We use the technology that they try to use against us. We now use it against them.
Yep, amen to that.
And you know, we've been compiling these videos, whether it be a Beto, Donald Trump, Dianne Feinstein, all these people that got caught saying things about wanting to take away our guns, and we've been compiling the videos. It's evident. We have the evidence.
Well, let me ask you a question, Randy.
You know, Dianne Feinstein, the videos are on YouTube. Dianne Feinstein, years ago, had talked about, she basically said that if she would have had enough votes in the Senate, she would have, Mr. and Mrs. America turned them all in. See, those are the kind of videos they don't want you to see because they got caught. They
right.
want you to think, well, we're just going to ban a few. We're just going to ban a few accessories to save the children. They're playing with your emotions. Their ultimate goal is to disarm you. That is the goal. They know they can't maybe get away with it, so they've been trying to do things slowly. Well, we'll ban the bump stocks, or we'll ban the high-capacity magazines. They'll just keep banning until there's nothing left.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're right. The goal, no matter what the rhetoric is.
But then Beto comes out and talks about this whole government gun buyback program. He even admits it's not voluntary. It's mandatory. And there'll be consequences for people that don't comply. Well, you know what? Our founding fathers didn't lay down their firearms when the British told them to, did they? So they want to fight? Let's give it to them. This is nothing new. They've been trying to disarm us since our very foundation of our country. It doesn't matter. Democrat, liberal, Republican, redcoats, they're all the same people. They are going to try to disarm you, and it all comes down to, are we going to lay down our firearms, or are we going to stand like men like our founding fathers and tell them, hell no, we will not comply?
Yeah, amen.
These are exciting times. I'm not up here fear-mongering. This is the reality that we are living in right now. Our government is our enemy. Well, it's not even our government per se, because they work day in and day out against us and our Constitution. It's a fact. There's no more denying it, brothers and sisters. They are the enemy of our people and our country. They have flooded our lands with illegal aliens and destroying our Constitution at the same time. It's not a joke anymore. This is war.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like to be run through their court system and tried to deny my right to free speech. I will not be silenced by these people. They can strip me of my right to participate in my election that I won through the delegate process. They denied me that. They ran me through their court system denying my right to free speech, but they will not silence me, and they will not disarm me or my family.
Yep, I've been there too, Randall. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Anybody that's been in this fight long enough, they'll go through it, and they'll be tested. They will be tested. And I'll tell you, it'll make you a stronger person when you go through all that. It'll make you stronger.
Yep. Amen. Well, supposedly Trump's got some kind of a big thing he's talking about this morning. And like you said, if you look past all of the shenanigans and the rhetoric, it's basically boils down to the Bolsheviks are planning on taking over, and they have to disarm us before they can do that. Really.
Well, you see, they waited too long, brother. Because while they were plotting and planning and trying to pass all this legislation for many years they've tried to pass a lot of these things. A lot of times it didn't go through, but we saw what they were doing. And we were able to buy those weapons, buy that ammunition that they didn't want us to have because of what they did was basically public. If you knew where to go search the government documents, bills that they were trying to get passed, even though they didn't pass, if you knew where to look, you could see what their plan was. And we've been warning people for years this is what the plan was. It's no big – for those of us that know, when Beto comes out and talks about these things, it's not a shocker. It's a confirmation of what we already knew.
Right, right.
We're right. We have always been right. And this battle, you know, you've had people for over 100 years warning you, better arm up. You better prepare. This has been going on longer than me and Pastor Dan have been on this earth. This warning, people have had time to prepare. The question is, have you prepared? Have you been listening? And wake up other people. Don't take it for granted that everybody knows about this. Spread the word. Tell your family. If you love your family and your friends, I don't care how stubborn and stiff-necked they are, continue to wake them up. Show them the videos of what Beto is saying. What more proof do they need? Beto's out there telling you what he wants to do. Now, some people might pass it off. Well, he'll never get elected. That doesn't matter. What they are talking about is what's important, because that is their plan. It doesn't matter if it's Obama, Beto or the next Democrat, liberal, communist that comes on board, the plan is still the same. Disarm the people.
Yep. You're right. You're right.
These are exciting times. I'm excited to expose these people. It's fun. It's fun to show people who these people really are. It is so exciting. Be a part of it. This is the greatest time to be alive. These are like the days of our founding fathers. Paul Revere, you know, the ride of the whole Paul Revere story. The British are coming. The British are coming. We get our time now. Let's be a part of it.
Yeah, now instead of the British are coming, it's the Bolsheviks are coming.
Same people.
Same people. Yeah. They're all part of that trilateral triangle of satanic control, and certainly Great Britain is part of it with London, and then the Vatican, of course, and then you've got Washington working with the Israelis, so that's a triangle right there. Yeah, you're right. Exciting times, definitely about it, and the enemy keeps making mistakes.
And when people like Beto are out there spewing all these things, can anybody tell? I don't pretend to know all things. Is there anybody in Congress or the Senate or anybody speaking out against Beto right now? I mean, please tell me, because I'm not seeing it. I mean, other than the average people, we're talking about it. Is there a single congressman that's standing on the floor of the House saying, "Hey, we got a problem here. We got a guy running for president calling for the disarming of the American people"? Has anybody done that on the floor of the House? I'm not seeing it.
I agree. I don't see it either. That's why I tell people.
Where are the men? Where are these so-called elected leaders who swore to uphold and defend our Constitution? Why aren't they defending it? Oh, but they have no problem destroying it, do they? But they are not the defenders of our Constitution. They are not. They're cowards.
They're traitors.
Damn right.
And they're operating under the color of law because they no longer have a legitimate position in our government. When they violate the oath of office, that makes them basically like a spy. They're still in office issuing orders, writing laws. When they've committed treason, that's under the color of law. They could be treated as a spy. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These are exciting times. I'm excited. I'm excited this is coming. I've been looking for this fight against these people for a long time.
Yeah.
I know you have.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I thought it was going to happen.
The writing's been on the wall.
Right.
It was just a matter of time when it was going to come down to this.
Yeah. Yep, I'm shocked it took this long, but is definitely here now.
And I'm 41 years old now, brother.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got you by a few.
I started waking up when I was probably 21, 22, somewhere around there. Now I'm 41. This has been exciting, and it's been one heck of a roller coaster ride too, man. You know, because when you're going through this whole process of waking up and learning all these things. It's like a roller coaster, man. It's a lot of twists and turns along the way. You learn a lot of things, and it's just, you just keep plugging along.
Well, that's just it. You never give up, and you never surrender, ever. And like I said, just look what they did to the poor Russian people that were disarmed and unable to fight. It's just horrific, horrific. We don't ever want that to happen to us or our families, and so you're right. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Can't remember who said that. One of our founders.
And you'll notice that these gun grabbers, boy, they all come to the surface every time there's a mass shooting, don't they? They all come out of the woodworks and they play with people's emotions through the mass media. Oh, we got to do it for the children. Oh, the same children who Planned Parenthood butchers and profits off of it? What about those children? Oh, we can't talk about those children. No. We can't talk about that, right, Beto? But they want to use children as a way to disarm us, playing with people's emotions. But it's okay when Planned Parenthood butchers up little babies and sells their body parts. Yeah, we're not going to defend those children. These people are sick, man. These people are so sick. I see right through their hypocrisy, man. Oh, I see right through their hypocrisy. To hell with all these little these little demons, man. That's what they are. They sit there and they play with people's emotions through the lying national media, who Donald Trump calls fake news. But they sit there and lie to people with their propaganda, playing with their emotions, and people are eating it up. Oh, it's just sickening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what.
During these mass shootings, when they use the children as their propaganda, and then you see, like, what Planned Parenthood's doing. I mean, come on, folks. You see the hypocrisy here? They don't care about these children. They butcher their little body parts up and make money off of it. That's the kind of evil that we're talking about here.
Oh, I know.
That Beto runs around, oh, we got to do it for the children. Yeah, I don't see Beto standing up for all them little babies being butchered. He ain't standing up for those babies, is he? Probably lining up his pockets of that blood money.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
Sick people. I'm so sick of these people, man.
Yep. I tell you what, let me see if Mike's got anything he wants to add to all this.
Sure.
Mike, welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. Man, we had thunder boomers last night. I slept really, really late. I was up pretty much all night. Well, of course, you guys are right on point. The biggest issue, though, is why don't these questions ever get asked at these debates? In other words, why does the media get to control? In other words, why does our enemy, the Jew, get to control the narrative on this? Why does this question never get asked face-to-face to one of these criminals, these so-called politicians who are in public service? How come nobody ever goes straight up to them and says, hey, wait a second, you hypocrite. You say that our borders need to be open so that all of these foreigners can come here and we can give them freebies, and you say it's for the children, but then when we talk about abortion, you turn your heads and you walk away. Why? What, those aren't babies? In New York City, we have politicians who cheered when the law was passed that said that a woman can decide after the child is born, breathing on its own, the cord is cut. A baby is alive there on a table or in the doctor's hands. And just like a Roman emperor, the woman can give a thumbs up or a thumbs down whether that baby lives or dies. It's breathing on its own. It can survive on its own without assistance. But the woman can still, by law, in New York, give a thumbs up or thumb down whether that child lives or dies. That's murder. That's murder. Nobody asks about that. These people that are supposedly so concerned about children. Nobody talks about that. It's just an absolute sickness. You know what? The more we talk about this stuff, the more I'm glad that we're at the point that John Mark had brought up the last time we spoke with him, that it's time for solutions now. No more talk. It's time for the intolerance to start. Political power comes from intolerance. So to just stand there and stamp our feet and cry and whine about it anymore does no good. This is exactly what the father said about the scenario where Phineas, you know, pulled the spear out and did what he should have done and what every other man, Israelite man, should have done. When that Israelite man, one of the leader of the tribes, I believe, took a foreign wife and went into that tent to consummate that marriage. The book says everybody else in the camp was whispering and saying, oh, this is terrible, this is terrible. He's committing miscegenation. He's adulterating the bloodline. What, you know, why are we putting up with this? So they all knew. That's Fox News. That's all these other news stations. And I have to point my finger right at myself and said, that's what I do. I stamp my feet and I scream and I rip my garments and say, how can they get away with this? But then do I do what the Father says Phinehas should have done, which was stop the evil? The book doesn't say that nobody knew that there was something wrong being done. No, it says everybody knew, because all they did was whisper and say, oh, yeah, well, how could he do that? How could he break that commandment? No more. No more. We can't do this anymore. We can't stand by and allow it and tolerate it. So, you know, I'm not calling for violence, but whatever form the intolerance needs to take, like that poor little boy down in Texas whose father, the biological father, was going through a divorce, and a woman who's not even the biological mother was awarded full custody of this little boy, and he's 7 years old, and the mother in the court paper says, no, I'm putting this child through sexual reassignment. 7 years old. Well, what happened? The righteous in the state of Texas stepped up, and they did something about it. They didn't get violent. They didn't go, you know, jerk that that judge who made that ridiculous decision out of, you know, their home and lynched them. They went to the governor, and they said, we're not going to tolerate this. You do something about it, or we will. And now this is under review, and the decision has been overturned. So I'm not calling, you know, I'm not calling for us to go out in the streets and shoot and, you know, lynch people. What I'm saying is we can't just stamp our feet anymore and, you know, tickle our fancy by being, you know, righteously indignant about this stuff. We have to do things, because if we don't, we're just like those people in that camp that father was ashamed of. And we have to do things. We can't just tolerate this anymore. And I think part of the intolerance is separating from these people. Just saying, no, we don't need your permission. It's my favorite saying that this John Mark is just brilliant. We do not need our enemies' permission to do righteousness. We don't need their permission to preserve our civilization and our people. We don't. And this is part of it.
Yeah. I totally agree with that, brother. I've got several projects that I'm currently working on right now through the county that I live in, as well as Midland County, Michigan. And I am, through the Freedom of Information Act request, I am putting the pressure on some local governments dealing with some criminality that's coming from the sheriff's office, and also a possible free speech violation that occurred in the county that I lived in. So, I mean, I'm doing what I can in Michigan to really put the pressure on local governments to hold these people accountable.
Amen. Great job.
And I do hope to soon start releasing some of that information that I've been able to get access to, and I'm start releasing it through my podcast. Actual physical documents. People can see, like, hey, what I was requesting, here was a response. Now we can talk about the problem here. And I'm trying to hold these local government officials accountable for what they've done in these counties of Michigan. That's something I'm working on right now.
Wow. That's great. Great work.
Let me give people an example. When the sheriff of Midland County, for example, got, this is on YouTube, videos are on YouTube, I've talked about it before, he got popped with the DUI. You know, he put out a little, you know, he refuses to resign, but he put out this little I'm sorry letter. And people may think this is kind of minimal, like it doesn't really mean much, but here's how you catch him. I read what he wrote, and it says that when he was, I think he was on his way or coming from to or from a deer camp, he had wrote that he was in his vehicle. Well, which is interesting. People may not think much about that, but through Freedom of Information Act request, in fact, he was not in his vehicle. He was in a county-issued vehicle. He's a liar. And even though some people might look at that as being kind of small and maybe not have a lot of significance, everything matters, folks. These people are liars. And even the smallest little lie that they tell, you call them on it.
Amen.
No. That's great.
And then this is all stuff that, you know, I've gotten through Freedom of Information Act request. I've got the entire incident, the sheriff's report, the county that it happened in. I've got all the stuff, folks. Not only that, but, the sheriff was also involved in using a squad car for commercial advertising, which is against the county written policy. It doesn't matter how small of a mistake these people make. I go after all of them for every little thing. Hold them accountable like they would do to us. He used his squad car for commercial advertising. He was also popped in a county vehicle, drunk off his butt. And this guy refuses to resign. And these local politicians are just looking the other way. I'm calling them on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our public servants are supposed to be held to a higher standard than we are in civilian life. And I can tell you for a fact, I worked for a public utility many years, and we were told many times, if you're in a company vehicle, you had better not be breaking any laws, and you better not have any kind of booze or any other illicit material in that car with our name on the side of the car. So if that's the way it is for a public utility, it's a much higher standard for a public servant that's carrying guns around like a sheriff.
Yeah. The county
but I'm currently waiting for that Freedom of Information Act request. I'm waiting for the one that was dealing with the squad car and commercial advertising. I'm waiting for them to respond to that one because I basically requested contracts, which aren't technically going to exist because they have a written policy against it. But what I'm trying to do is trigger an investigation against it because even though the insurance company removed the video off their website, they still left it on YouTube, which I downloaded a copy. And I told them in the FOIA request where the video was uploaded and even the date. So I mean, this is going to get ugly for the sheriff. And hopefully I'm able to force him to resign because it doesn't matter. He's only in office for maybe another year. He's not going to run again. But I'm going to make this last year for him a living hell.
Well, it's great that you do that.
He's an arrogant man. He got popped with the DUI, refuses to resign, so every little thing that he does, I'm going to be that pit bull riding on it.
Good, Mike.
And this is what I hope everybody does in their counties and their towns. Hold your local elected officials accountable for what they do, because they would do it to you.
Oh, amen to that. No doubt
Don't
about
let
it.
Let them get away with anything.
Yep. We lost Mike.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, I've got the sheriff. I mean, I've got his written statement that he put out publicly where he says that he was in his car. Turned out to be a lie. He claims that he's sorry for what he did, but if you watch the videos, this is a man who used a badge to try to get away with what he did. And even after blowing a .233 on the breathalyzer, was telling the other police officer, well, I can follow you to deer camp. After he blew a .233, this is not a man who was sorry for what he did. He's just sorry he got caught. He got caught on video.
Yeah, he's sorry he got caught. That's all. You're right.
Yeah, he tried to use his badge on video to get out of trouble. This is an arrogant man. I'm all over him, man. I haven't got videos of him using his squad car for commercial advertising with the local insurance company. Oh, that's a big no-no. When I sent the FOIA request to the county and got a copy of their vehicle usage policy. According to their own policy, you can't do that. You can't use it for personal reasons. And he got caught using it for commercial advertising. I'm all over it, man. I got video evidence and everything.
Good,
so the goal. No, I was just going to say the goal here is to also, you know, to your point, Henry, the guy's only going to be in the office for a short period of time. But what you're doing is you're demonstrating to whoever else is going to take that position that, hey, you better walk the straight line if you take this job because the people will be all over you. And so,
right. And Mike, let me bring this up because what you're talking about is exactly right. Because one of the guys who's now running for sheriff, I've had personal dealings with in a court of law. And he said when I was trying to take part of my elected position as a delegate, there was a little incident, we'll call it. But basically, this Deputy Sheriff Meyer in Green, who's now running for sheriff, he had made a statement to the police. But when we went to court, told under oath, it was totally contradicted what he had told the police, which I put all that information out of my podcast, what he said to the police, and then what he said while he testified, totally inconsistent. And I had back years ago when that happened, I had wrote to his sheriff and got a response letter back about his, well, they called it an inconsistent testimony, but I called him out on that too. And now that guy's running for sheriff, and I'm all over him as well.
Yeah, Randy, this is... This is a symptom, though. The fact that you're willing to step up and do something is great, but the symptom is that the average person walking around the street says, well, that's government, it's corrupt. Well, how did we get to this point?
Exactly.
How did we get to this point? Again, I bring up John Mark a lot because he's just a brilliant young guy. I wish, you know, if we had a million more of them, we wouldn't be in this mess. But, you know, he shows this map on his last video, and it just shows the corruption level in different areas of the world in alignment with IQ and race. And boy, how strange that these three charts are all in alignment with each other. it's unbelievable. So I think our enemy knew darn well that the level of shame would go down. The level of, I guess you'd call conscientiousness or caring on the part of our people would be eliminated after you had so much corruption over, you know, decades because of all of this. Well, let's just put it this way. Our society isn't homogeneous anymore. And when you see these people, like when this corrupt congressman got laid in state, I'm saying to myself, so let me get this straight. This guy whose wife is under investigation for corruption, this guy who's done nothing but try to take down our people and turn us into, you know, a backwards, corrupt African nation, he dies and they lie him in state in honor at the Capitol building. It's like this is just being shoved in our faces more and more every day, all the corruption. I mean, a good friend of mine just sent me a video. Now, you gentlemen, you tell me what would happen if we did this, if the three of us did this, knowing our demographics. In Brooklyn, New York, a bunch of kids, and of course the New York Post doesn't call them black teens, it just calls them teens, just got into fisticuffs with a bunch of cops. I mean, it was a melee. It was like a riot. Did any of these cops pull out their guns and defend themselves? Did they do what the law says they're allowed to do, which is use deadly force? Well, their lives were in danger, these cops. This was all on tape. It's all on video showing exactly what's going on. Now, you tell me that if the three of us were on the New York City subway and attacked a bunch of cops, what would have happened to us? It would have killed us.
Dead. We'd be dead.
So we are tolerating this unrighteousness on the part of these so-called teens. Why are the same standards not being used? Why are we coddling these people? Why, if everybody is supposedly equal and everybody's the same, why isn't the same rod used to measure their behavior? Because it's on purpose. We know it's on purpose. Nobody's doing wink, wink. Oh, they're just kids. They know it. It's to demoralize our society. It's to get us to the point where we won't care anymore.
Yep. Amen to that.
Well, hey, some of us care.
Well, the level of awareness is definitely increasing, guys. I can tell you that just from the feedback I'm getting and some of the channels I monitor daily. It's actually quite amazing.
Have you gentlemen seen the news of where these liberal communists are pouncing on a commissioner in Sevierville, Tennessee? Have you guys seen this?
No.
The video's on YouTube. Basically, a commissioner. I guess the original meeting had something to do with the Second Amendment, and the local news was there. And somehow, one of the commissioners ends up in a rant about white folks and white folks losing their rights. They pounce all over this guy because, oh, he's intolerant racist. No, they're pouncing on this guy. Pouncing on it, just, you know, it's like a liberal mob, right? They're attacking us. It's making national news. This has happened in the last week or so. They're just pouncing on it. This guy's probably in his 70s, this county commissioner, and they're just pouncing on him, just like they always do, right? If a white man dares speak up, they're pouncing on it. It's what they did. Oh, they're calling him to resign. this woman who's ahead of the Democratic Party down there in Tennessee, she's involved in all kinds of interesting things. There was a local church group that was meeting at a Cracker Barrel. This happened some time ago. And she had actually wrote a letter to Cracker Barrel and had some dealings with getting them not being allowed to use a Cracker Barrel for their religious gatherings. So this is just another example to show you folks of how intolerant these people really are.
Well, again, the Bible in Deuteronomy and Leviticus,
they pounce on you.
The Bible tells us never to allow racial aliens or those unfit for office to rule over us, and women are not supposed to rule over us. We men have got to get our shit together. I'm sorry, put it in plain English. We need to get our poop in one sock and stop this nonsense. Stop coddling the women. The women don't belong in charge. I don't give a damn if it's business, corporations, government, you name it, military, none of them. None of them need to be in charge. It's supposed to be the righteous men of our race, period. And the sooner we get over all of this hogwash that the Jew has put on us with all of his programming and taking over corporate and making these kind of idiotic decisions because that's what they want, they're satanic, we white men that know better need to get together and say enough is enough. I'm not going to listen to all you social justice warriors and you young punks out there because you're not old enough to have an opinion I even care about. You females over there, you don't belong in government. You don't belong being the jury box. You don't belong behind the bar. You don't belong in society in corporate leadership positions. And you sure as hell shouldn't be voting on any issues. Just sit there and be quiet. Now, you want to go talk to the men in charge? Then do so. But as far as running this country, just shut up and sit down. If you're not a white man who can prove he's of good character and righteous, then you don't have a say.
Yeah. That's what, again, gets back to the proprietarianism philosophy, right? This is, as you very eloquently said in the program, Dan, we now have a framework. Even for people who don't understand the identity movement, people who don't understand our philosophy as far as our creator and his laws, we use the terminology, no, we are not going to comply with these because
impose?
John wants to say it. Yes, these things impose a cost on us. And that's all we have to say. If punishment is not rendered, when there is a violation of law, that imposes a cost on us. When you redistribute property from one person to another through taxation, which is theft, you're imposing a cost, an external cost on us. We don't want anything to do with it. When these corporations or these governments are corrupt, it imposes a cost on us. There's a long list of things, from demoralization to, you know, actual taxation theft. I mean, this is the terminology that I think we have to start using with our enemies, because that is something that we can bring in court papers and say, look, you know, these are costs imposed upon us, and we're no longer going to put up with this. So we're not going to comply with your law. This is more evidence of why we need to separate ourselves. And if, you know, we do this like adults and sit down and hammer out a separation agreement, or do we go to war? Either way, you're going to lose. So we just have to keep repeating this over and over again. No more stamping our feet, no more, you know, pointing fingers and calling names. Just say, okay, you don't want to live with us, we don't want to live with you, how do we separate? Just keep repeating that over and till enough people hear it and say, yeah. Meaning there's a solution,
you know,
Brother
Mike, I totally agree with that, because, you know, their corruption has costed us a lot of money. I mean, again, in Midland County, Michigan, a judge who also was a part of one of my cases turned out to be a sexual deviant. Nobody ever truly held him accountable. He ended up resigning, but he cost, because the county had to make a settlement with an employee, costed the county thousands upon thousands of dollars in a settlement, in a direct settlement and legal fees, But yet they wouldn't even hold him directly accountable for it. He resigns, goes off quietly, and guess who has to pay? The taxpayers. It's terrible.
Right. Yeah. Terrible. So there's a lot more. No, that is a great example, Randy. But the cost really is more than just money, right? The cost is the destruction of our civilization. I mean, the money thing is very, very important, but, you know, again, the demoralization, the violation of spiritual law, where everything that is really dear, you know, I'm going to try to phrase this in a different way, because I want people maybe who are new to the program to hear this. Why are we doing all this? And not this program, but why do you get up and go to work in the morning? Why do you do the things that you do to try to have a nice home and a nice neighborhood and a nice community? Because you want to pass something on to your progeny, not every stranger in the world. You don't want to. You're doing all this because you're trying to create a civilization that is going to make things better for your people, next generation, generations beyond. But our enemy is trying to tear that apart, and they're doing a dang good job of it.
They
so
are.
You have to think of things in that perspective, where you say, this isn't just, do I put three meals on the table today? It's, why are we doing all this? What is the purpose of this? I mean, I live in a brand new neighborhood where nobody knows each other. Nobody cooperates. Nobody talks to each other. And what a surprise. You take a walk around the neighborhood. This isn't a homogeneous neighborhood. It isn't. The number of mixed-race couples in this neighborhood is sickening. I don't want to live here. I want to live in a community with my people, where my morals, values, judgments, you know, the things that are near and dear to me, which used to be to everybody in this country when the population was over 90%+ white. I mean, just, we have the right to have our own country, our own nations, our own communities. We don't need to ask our enemies for permission. How do we go about doing it?
Amen.
You know, Mike, Mike just gave me a great idea there. I've got to place an order for three AR-15s for my beautiful little girls.
Did you guys see the article
should I call them stocking stuffers?
Stocking stuffers. Did you see where that referee from some national sports said that he's going out and buying an AR-15 because he sees Civil War coming to America? There was also a lady in Michigan, I think it was, Randy. This was a couple months ago. She was either a commissioner, county commissioner, city commissioner, something. She was in local government. And she made a statement about race mixing being against God's law. And they did the same thing to her that they're trying to do to these other people. Some local newscaster went up there and to interview her, and he tried, of course, to make her sound like a complete idiot. And, you know, well, how could you say such a thing? Oh, my God. And she goes, well, because it's true.
Is that something recent in Michigan? I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, this was I think I sent a link out, but maybe not. This was maybe a month and a half ago, but it was some lady, and I'm pretty sure it was Michigan, might have been Minnesota, but it was up in your neck of the woods. But she came out and publicly said that race mixing is disgusting, and there's way too much of it going on, and people should be told that it's against God's law. And I wanted to bring up something to both you guys. You guys have to work for a living. I'm blessed that I've reached a point where I can spend the time looking. But I'm listening to more and more and more channels where the very things that you and I have been talking about here for some cases years is being mimicked almost word for word in some of these other channels. Now, some of them are biblically based. Some of them are secular. But the principles that we have been talking about on this platform for years are now percolating up through these other groups, and they're almost saying what we've been saying verbatim. I mean, literally verbatim. So we are having an effect. That's why I'm telling you that. That's why we said from day one, we'll never surrender, we never give up, and we're not going to stop until we win. So just wanted to say kudos to you guys and all the other listeners out there that have been working with us and helping to stay afloat and keep this message going on out there, because it is having an impact. There are people waking up because the enemy is so outrageously insane today, where nothing is sacred. Nothing in this society is sacred anymore.
Because of our stubbornness, and of course we're stiff-necked and we don't give up easily, that's why we are going to win, because we are stubborn.
Well, that's right. In this particular case, our stiff-neckedness plays to our favor.
Absolutely. we're stubborn people. Hey, when we're right and we know we're right, we don't give up. Doesn't matter how many people come up against us or speak out against us, we don't give up. We just keep talking about these problems, and they do take root within society. Sometimes it takes longer than we would like it to, but what we're talking about of naturally does get to the masses of people because they are searching for the truth. They're out there. They're out there listening to the radio programs or the websites that, you know, people stumble across our websites that we've created. We don't always know who they are, but there's people out there that are searching for this. And because we refuse to give up, they will find us. They will listen. And they'll listen to us and compare that to what they're being fed through the media. Of course, they can make up their own choices, right?
Yep, amen.
You know, when they listen to my radio podcast, my radio programs, there's no advertising. I'm not trying to sell them a T-shirt or take their money. I mean, I just say my opinion, and, you know, they can decide whether what I say is right or not. Whatever they do with that information is up to them. I don't force anything.
Right,
I just
amen.
Give my opinions.
And how do people hear your podcast, Randy?
Actually, this is interesting. I just got approved. Hopefully nobody complains. I just got approved through Apple. So if you go to the podcast icon or iTunes and type in The Randy Gray Podcast, you'll find it. Or you can go directly to my website, randygray.net /podcast, and download it for free.
So randygray.net. /podcast.
Podcast. Yep. Or go directly to Apple and type in The Randy Gray Podcast, and it should pop right up.
Okay. So, okay. On iTunes. Well, bravo. The more workers, the better.
Well, regardless, it's on the website.
Right. Exactly. If all else fails, just go to the website, randygray.net. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, again, you know, we said 20 years ago when we started, if it takes reaching one Israelite at a time, then by God, that's what we'll do. We know we're never going to reach multiple tens of thousands at once because it's a tiny flock we're dealing with. And unfortunately, white people up till now have not cared about the truth. They really haven't. All they cared about was hedonism, materialism, getting along, staying below the radar, not getting involved, very selfish, very hedonistic, very selfish until recently. Now many of them realize that they live in a world full of lies and deception, and these lies and deceptions are now costing the lives of our children, whether it be military or in schools, or even such hideous things as that woman wanting to chemically castrate her own child, or at least the child under her custody. And people are also...
And you know, Brother Dan and Brother Mike, their ultimate goal is to take their soul. That's the ultimate goal of the Antichrist, is to take you away from Yahweh. That's what they're doing. They've convinced people through deception that, oh, well, it's a woman's right to choose, and it's just simply health care, when in reality, folks, it's the murdering of babies. It's against Yahweh. Yahweh told us to be fruitful and multiply. But the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, they've convinced the people that it's just simply a woman's right to choose. It's a violation of Yahweh's laws. They have fooled, through deception of the mass media and through politics, they have fooled all of these people to do the way of Satan. Because Satan wants your soul, wants to drag you into the pits of hell. And they've even done that through with gay marriage. Right?
Yep.
The Supreme Court comes along and overrules the people in violation of our Constitution. But Satan and his demons and his children, they want to have you doing the ways of the Antichrist. And that's what all these things are. Butchering little babies, engaged in homosexual behaviors or gay marriage, all of these things. It's the way of Satan. They want you to do his will. And if they can't get you to do it directly, because, you know, we can sit here and say we disagree with all these things that are happening, they'll get you to participate in these things through taxation.
Yep.
So one of the things that I think, again, we need to start repeating over and over again, even though it's good, Randy, that what you do is you try to use the current system to humiliate, embarrass, and call corrupt people out on the carpet.
Right.
We're not going to receive remedy from this corrupt system. As a matter of fact,
I totally agree. I'm plucking the eye of the enemy, and that's just something that I do. I love plucking them, just picking on them, because that's what they do to us. They will waste no time humiliating any one of us. They've done it to me. They've done it to a lot of other people. Run our names through the mud, through the media. So I'm giving them the same treatment. That's all it is.
Go ahead, Mike. Uh-oh. Yeah.
He'll be back.
He dropped off.
That was like last week. I kept my call kept dropping like crazy. He'll be back.
Oh, okay.
We have to give the enemy this treatment, folks. Everybody's solution to what's going on is going to be a little different, but together we are a force. We are. Even if we do like the smallest of things, you know, maybe writing a letter to your local editor or the paper about something that you see that's going on that you don't like might help and awaken other people. So use all tools to your advantage, whether it be letters to the editor or the paper. You might publish your own websites. Just start ripping the enemy. Now is the time.
Every weapon that we have. Mike's back with us. Go ahead, Mike.
People might choose to run for office to go after the enemy. Go for it.
Yeah. Can you hear us, Mike?
Yeah, I can hear you. So, again, this is death by a thousand cuts or a million cuts, right? Like, think of all the money that it costs to bring one of these things, you know, to court. In other words, filing fees, all the FOIA requests, all this. I mean, even if it was free, how much is your time worth? You know, there are things that we could be doing. It's called an opportunity cost. Well, I can't be taking care of my home and my family and my business and spending time with my spouse or my children because, you know, I've got to go out and defend us against these corrupt minions. Well, this is just more and more indication to me, more evidence, more support of the fact that we need our own system. You know, we are going to continue to face this from these people who keep using the D word, democracy. Oh, our democracy, well, we don't have a democracy here.
Right.
The form of government is a constitutional republic, and in other words, we're a captive nation. Our people are enslaved right now, and the only way that we're going to have the kind of life that we want for ourselves and our people is if we have our own system again, our own nation. And we're not going to have it here. I'm sorry. I mean, for people who get, you know, teary-eyed when they think of, you know, the United States is going to go away. Well, Rome went away. The British Empire disappeared. But we're still here. We're still Father's people. So if we all stood in a homogeneous 100% Caucasian Israelite, you know, Yah fearing nation on a different piece of dirt or on the same dirt, but we didn't associate with, you know, certain other peoples anymore. Who cares? Wouldn't that be better? You know, for everybody that, you know, gets crazy when they see the flag, you know, and they get all teary eyed, no matter, you know, no matter how many people that aren't our people who are waving it, no matter how many people, you know, get to steal from you, no matter how many, you know, corrupt politicians and public servants we have, oh, but as long as we're under this flag, everything's great. No. Show me that in your Bible. Show me where your Father, your Creator, tells you that, you know, the thing that's most important is the American flag. No. He doesn't say that. It's just the most important thing, and look in the order of the commandment. That's how you tell. Him first, family, then your neighbor. I mean, this is the way that we're, and your neighbor is your racial brother, not something that just came off the boat from Somalia. So we need our own place. We need our own system. We need, and I'll tell you, and I've said this to Dan, you know, a thousand times on offline conference calls or, you know, personal calls, we will be blessed in a way that you cannot measure once we get away from these other peoples and start keeping his laws. It will be an exponential, we won't be able to receive all the blessings. If we just get away from these other peoples and start keeping Father's laws again, he's not a liar. He promises this. This is what will happen. So, you know, I applaud you, Randy, and you know, everyone else who tries to fight corruption, but we should be using all of this time and money and effort to say, how do we get away from these people? We don't want to live with them anymore. We need our own nation. How do we do it?
Well, it would certainly be more peaceful under Yahweh's laws of a government system. I mean, I'll give you that. It would certainly be more peaceful because, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would much rather be spending my time on other things.
And that's a good...
Straight honest with you. I would rather be doing other things.
That's a good point. John Mark and Kurt Doolittle with Propertarianism are basically saying the same thing. We need to separate from the left, from the Bolsheviks, from the Antichrists, because they are never, ever going to come work on with us on any issue. We white conservative Americans will never win another election in this country. We've had enough invaders come in now, and they've convinced enough morons in the universities and schools to be socialist leftists. We're not going to win elections, so that's out. It's broke. It's over. The court system is corrupt as hell. Government is corrupt as hell at every level.
Absolutely.
So Babylon has reached the point where it's just like when Abram was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go out. He, you know, we're in the same boat. We're dying in this cesspool as a people. Instead of a pledge of allegiance to a flag, we should be pledging our allegiance to our Heavenly Father. And we need to come back to that focus point, and we need to separate ourselves from these, and anything towards that end, I think, is worth every effort we got. We need somewhere to go. That's what I've been praying for, is a direction from the Holy Spirit and Father himself. Where do you want us to gather? That's been the big question. I've been asked that by hundreds of people over the last few months. Where do we go? I can't tell you how many people have said, when you guys figure it out, and they're talking about you guys and me, when you guys figure it out, let me know, because I'm coming. I will be there. Letter after letter, phone call after phone call, email after email. When you guys finally figure out where it is Father wants us to build this new nation, you let me know, because I'll be there to be part of it. And as Mike has said, can you imagine if we picked, let's be optimistic. Let's say we picked a group of states in the middle of the country or even in the Pacific Northwest, whatever. And we all gathered there and did like that city in Mexico where we keep Babylon out and our militia is our army and our police force. Can you imagine how many disgusted and frustrated, talented white people would abandon Babylon and head for that area?
Absolutely. That's the goal.
I agree. I want to add to what Mike was saying. What Mike is saying is a lot like what the Founding Fathers did. If you read the Declaration of Independence, it's all documented. the petitions of redress of grievance that they wrote against, you know, to the king, against the king, repeatedly were ignored. Founding fathers, you know, and others through ancestry, they were physically damaged because of being outspoken, right? The king went after those people, murdered a lot of people. And eventually, even the founding fathers got tired of it and said, hey, we're leaving. We're out of here. That's how they got to the United States. They got sick and tired of the system that they were living in, and they threw their hands up and said, we're out of here. They left. The problem, the only problem that I see is the enemy always finds a way to sneak in. And they've done that now in the United States. And now, so we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it.
Randy, I think you're skipping over something, Randy. I think you're skipping over something. No, it's not an egregious sin. I didn't mean to put it that way. Just what happened was when the colonies were formed, New York, New Jersey, South Carolina, North Carolina, they were sovereign nations. We keep, and I do it too, we keep saying, well, when we became the United States, no, long before there was any federation created called the United States, all of these colonies were separate sovereign nations. They had the authority to create the federation because they were sovereign nations. So we don't need to necessarily think so big right now in terms of, hey, we need our own giant, you know, megalithic country. No, we take a few counties in a state where we know we've got enough people who are like-minded and think the way that we do, fill out whatever paperwork it is. We go to the governor of that state and we say, hey, we're our own people now. We're our own nation. Sorry, Declaration of Independence style. And we just say, yeah, we may have a physical connection to you in terms of our lands border each other, but you know, we are no longer a part of the state of whatever because you've bowed to the District of Criminals, this federation, this federal government that, you know, has completely overstepped its bounds in every area, has violated law, and you as public servants have refused to do anything about it. We've tried to do this peacefully, exactly the way the Declaration of Independence says it.
Absolutely.
Here are all these grievances that we have against you. You have done nothing to remedy them. Therefore, the only way that we can, you know, have life and the pursuit of happiness is to separate ourselves from you. That's what we need to do.
As you correctly stated, the Declaration of Independence says to do exactly that. I agree.
I wonder if we could get a state of this country, a sovereign state, to do what the Russians have done. I just saw an article yesterday where Russia is welcoming 15,000 South African farmers. So racial kin have been given an escape from that worn, torn, murderous area of South Africa thanks to the communist takeover of it through the machinations of the Jews from the United States. But the Russians opened their doors to 15,000 farmers. Is there a state in this country, is there a sovereign state that still has a righteous element in control enough that would welcome our people there to form a new country, to be part of that country and make it strong?
All the South African farmers needed was for us to donate them a bunch of AR-15s, and they could have took care of the problem.
Oh, yeah. I know they could have. Right.
They were disarmed.
Right. Disarmed mentally and physically.
Another reason to never let these people disarm us here in this country. We'll end up just like watching.
So to get back to your question, Dan, I think it's going exactly what you asked is going to happen in multiple places. In counties where we have constitutional sheriffs, in states that the population has got the highest, or counties where the population has the highest concentration of white people, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think organically we are seeing that. Look at New Hampshire. Look at New Hampshire. It's a very free state. Do you get some, I use the word, hippies that will come from, you know, Massachusetts with their, you know, Massachusetts house money and look to go up to New Hampshire and retire because it's a no-income tax state. But then they get sick of it because they say, well, where are all the freebies? Where are all the government services? Where's this? Where's that? And then they get sick of it and they leave, not to mention the cold weather. But New Hampshire is a very, very free state. People vote with their feet and they go to a place where they can be free. And what a surprise. It's a mostly white state because our people want to live free. Even if they don't understand this message that we talk about, even if they don't understand the, you know, the Father's name or the commandments or anything, our people instinctively want to live free, so they'll go to a New Hampshire and say, hey, keep your freebies. Just stay the heck out of my pocket. Stop stealing from me. I'll make my own way. I don't need you.
Brother Mike, I believe New Hampshire is known for the, I believe their state thing is live free or die, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So I think this is organically happening now. I think there are enough people who say, whoa, wait a second. So when CNN does a broadcast and they've got a gay, you know, one percenter, this Gloria Vanderbilt's son, this Anderson Cooper, and then some Hispanic, journalist live on CNN, supposedly the most trusted name in news, saying, well, isn't this great? White America's not going to be a white country anymore. Isn't this amazing? Even the most liberal of whites are saying, whoa, wait a second. We helped you. We were in on the cause. We were the muscle and the money behind this. And you're telling me it's great that I'm going to be gone now? Whoa, wait a second. Whitey is realizing
useful idiots.
They're just useful idiots in these movements.
Absolutely.
They're useful idiots. And look what this Ocasio-Cortez woman did to Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi took this radical maniac actress, by the way, under her wing and said, look, I'll help you through all this. I'm the Speaker of the House. We'll do this, and this. This Ocasio-Cortez organized a sit-in in front of Nancy Pelosi's office and said, no, we don't need you anymore because you're white. We don't want white people leading brown people.
Right.
So even one of their so-called communist comrades, who's been the biggest advocate of everything non-white, is being told, no, you don't fit because you're white.
Sure.
Americans are waking up and they're saying, whoa, wait a second. So I think organically, as you said, Dan, we're going to have a lot of people who are smart, talented, have a few bucks, you know, maybe want to sell a house and get the heck out of Dodge. And I think this is Father doing it. I think Yah is telling his people, you need to be in your own place. I don't want you with these non-Israelites. You disobeyed me, and I need to do an exodus now and get you the heck out of there. I think this is what's happening.
Well, that would fit with Revelation and coming out of Babylon. So at some point, we've got to separate from these people. They're going to go down. They're going to go down in flames. They're going to go down very hard. And even the book of Revelation makes it very clear that his sons and daughters are to separate themselves from it so that we don't partake of their plagues. We don't partake of their punishment that's getting ready to be dumped on their heads. So somewhere, somehow, a land which follows along the blueprint written in Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America, by Thomas Chittum. I interviewed Thomas a long time ago. He's up in Canada now, but he was in New Jersey at the time. But he's up there, and he's very, very hard of hearing, so he won't do interviews anymore. But he wrote in that book, the Civil War II, that the country would break up very similar to what you're saying, Mike. He thought that it would break up into regions based upon race, that the whites will congregate in certain areas, and then the other areas, of course, will be just hell holes. I mean, can you imagine areas that are run by the blacks and browns only? It'll be just like South America. It'll be just like sub-Saharan Africa. It'll be a total disaster within 10 years.
Well, exactly, so the way Pastor Manning says it all the time, Dan. This is what he's predicting. He's saying, you better watch it, the way you treat these white people, black members of our community. You better watch it, because they've had it. They're getting tired of you. And when they leave, you're in trouble, because, and this is a black pastor in Harlem, New York, saying this. This isn't me being cruel or racist. He says, black people can't run anything. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen, Dan? We give them the cities that they want, just like John Mark says. Give them the cities that they want. They'll have some upper crusty, ultra-liberal ruling class running their place, right? Running their city, where there's all these poor non-whites that are sticking their hand out saying, okay, where are all these services? Where are all the things that government, you know, we're used to having government do for us? Well, the problem is that was a white government. That was an organized, systematic, you know, as the father says in his book, all things done decently and in order, right? Well, when you no longer have the beings who are capable of administering things in such a way, what happens? You lose the results. So what are you going to have? Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia, as they become more and more non-white, non-Israelite, more chaos, more crime, more debt, more disease, more rape, more murder. Well, look at South Africa.
Can I do my invitation of Mr. Manning?
Look at South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
South Africa was the jewel of the continent. That continent produced more electric power than all the other countries on the continent combined, had more paved roads than all the other countries combined, had more universities, more hospitals, more businesses, more clean running water, more crops growing than all the other countries on the continent combined. And as soon as the white population was driven out, what do you have? All of the plagues, literally the plagues that come when we're not around to administer things. So that's what's going to happen.
Remember what Mr. Manning said, brother? You brought him up.
When we separate, that's what's going to happen. And Dan, when the book talks about plagues, it's not, this is not just some pretty term to scare people. There are physicians right now who say they don't understand why Los Angeles and San Francisco have not had outbreaks of the plague. How does Los Angeles County not have a rat control program? If you would think of any place on earth, maybe besides New York City, that would absolutely need, and oh, absolutely, they must have the standard of all rat control programs on the planet. Nope. They don't have.
Well, not because all the Jews live in New York.
Well, look at all the feces and the needles and all of the dead bodies and everything lying all over Los Angeles and San Francisco now. San Francisco is literally, it's bound to get a plague. The Black Plague, which was born by rats. So are we saying that all of these brilliant, brilliant liberals who went to all these Ivy League schools and their Jew handlers, they don't know this is going to happen? Of course they know it. They know it. They don't care about all the blacks and Hispanics that live in these areas. Maybe they want it to happen. But when Father says these plagues are coming, they're coming. And we need to separate ourselves from them. So,
amen.
Well, you know, even the Bible tells us not to be in these cities. That's biblical.
Right.
Well, you know,
right.
you brought up Pastor Manning, and I don't know if the guy, if he's still on YouTube. It's been years since I've seen any of his videos. But like you mentioned, I'll never forget that when he come out with that video talking about this is when Obama was in office, Manning from Harlan was going on and saying that the white folk ain't going to take it no more. They're going to rise up. I'm going to join with them. And I'll never forget that, man. That was the most funniest thing. I'll never forget it.
Right.
Because even Manning, who's the black preacher from Harlem, even himself sees the writing on the wall.
Amen. Well, he went
even years ago.
Yeah, he even went so far as to say that he was praying for the white backlash to come, because America will not survive if they don't.
Those people need us, because if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't have anything. There would be no welfare and all these free handouts. All those things were born out of our people. We have financed our own destruction, literally, because we have given these people all these things that if we didn't give them all these things, most of them wouldn't even be alive. They'd be dead. But we have fed these people, clothed them, given them all these like huge discounts on housing, which none of us get that. We pay full price. We're not living in some, you know, big house or big apartment, only maybe paying $50 to $100 a month. We're paying the full price and working our butts off to get to it. But yet we give all these people all these other things. We have financed our own destruction. We really have.
Well, because we put reprobates into government, and government used our tax money to actually undo our country. I remember back in the 90s finding out when I looked into why are all the gas stations and hotels on the East Coast going to Indians and other aliens, all of them, all the gas stations, all the hotels. I said, something's wrong here. It's not because they run them better than we do, because they don't. Okay, so I walk into a 7-Eleven one day, and some car with U.S. government plates pulls up, and a black woman gets out, and she's in there talking to the Indian, telling him about all of the benefits he can have, the no interest or very, very low interest loans that are available as long as you're not white and American. So our own government was financing the takeover of the multitude of middle-class kind of work, at least as far as gas stations and hotels, and now it's even gone into other areas of business as well. So these people walking around, these morons of the white race, go, well, they did it because they work harder, and they're better at it, just like they say Jews are smart and all that. No, they're not. They're criminals. If you've got an element coming in and saying, hey, Mike, you and your family can buy a business in my town, and we're going to give you a zero interest loan, and you can take 7 years to pay it back at no interest to take over the gas stations. What idiot would not do it? And here's the beautiful part. You know what the government did? Oh, and the Greeks took over all the restaurants on the east, where I was at, on the East Coast. The Greeks were doing it. And what they figured out was that before the 7 years were up, they sold it to a cousin or to a brother, and the clock started over again. So they weren't paying interest on any of their loans. And when they finally get tired of this scam, they let the business fail. They just walked away from it, and it went bankrupt and failed. That's what we created.
Right. But then that same building, it didn't just shrivel up and disappear and go to the dust. Another brown family came in, and they got the same deal, even if they weren't related to the people who had it before. So it's just it's same thing with seats in colleges. When Shaquan fails out of his, you know, African studies degree that we're paying for, the school doesn't care, because they've slotted, and the federal government has slotted that space, that seat in that class and that dorm for a black person. They don't care which black person it is. It's going to be given to another black person, not a more qualified student of any other race. That slot is left open and paid for, prepaid for a black to come and sit. So this is just where, I mean, all of these things added up. The only solution is, well, we would never be able to chip away and get rid of all this stuff. When the Supreme Court says, oh, it's not discrimination against anyone else, if a school, a publicly funded college, like University of Michigan Law School, says, I want to give this seat to a black person, even though more qualified candidates applied, it's not discrimination. So then what is the definition of discrimination?
I agree.
If you're not excluding others based on their color of their skin from getting that same spot, then there is no such thing as discrimination. There is no such thing. If that isn't it, then nothing is.
Well, you know, Brother Mike, it's just like all these groups out there that want special rights, the gays, the blacks, lesbians, all these people, transgender, and all these other things. But when the commissioner from Tennessee, the 70-year-old white man, talks about white people not having rights, they pounce on him and say, well, that's racism. Exactly what you're talking about.
So just prima facie, we know this is a joke.
Yeah.
It's hypocrisy. You know, the people who are the stock, the genetics, the gene pool of those who started and built and founded and maintained this country are being genocided. There's no two ways about it. So we
should
can stand around.
They should be thanking us.
So we can stand around and try to use the system that's trying to kill us for salvation. It's not going to work. We're going to the adversary and asking him, you know, for help. It's not going to work. So what we need is our own system, our own nation. We need another Declaration of Independence. And then, as you and I talked, Dan, on another program with John Mark, when we both said, hey, the gaping hole in the Constitution was you need to define the legal term we the people. Who are we the people? It needs to be stated so that in future generations, nobody comes out and says, oh, we the people is anybody, you know, who defecates. No. It's Caucasian people of good character. That is the definition. And if you don't meet that definition, you can't live in this country. You're not a citizen. You don't belong here. You don't fit because your morals, values, customs, and beliefs historically indicate that you will impose a cost on our civilization. And therefore, we can't allow you in. We wish you well, but go do it someplace else.
Amen.
I totally agree with that. But we also have to have men willing to defend that action. And that's been our people's problem, is the inability to defend our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. While those documents
we don't have that
defined, totally support
that's
them,
the point,
men are not willing to stand the ground, our founding fathers.
Right, but that's the point. We know in a million years the founders did not mean any person walking on 2 feet. Unless it's defined in the new legal document, we're going to have this problem again. So the goal is to not have our people have to fight this battle again. The goal is to set up a new nation, a new system under which we're not going to have to see some black or some Jew or some Asian standing in front of our Supreme Court saying why they're a citizen of our country. No, you're not. Because right here in the founding documents, it says you don't fit. You're not part of the founding stock. We wish you well. We don't want you to perish. We'll be happy to trade freely with you, but you're not a member of this people. You're not a citizen of this nation. You don't belong here. And the blessings will naturally come. I mean, we saw it. We've talked about the statistics a million times. When these sovereign states, the several states who formed this federation, were like 95% white at one point, what did we have? We quickly elevated to the most powerful nation on the planet and the most prosperous, not in debt, not owing $25 trillion to Jew bankers individually and collectively. We were truly prosperous. And like you say, Dan, over and over again, as soon as we let these, the children of our enemy in, that's what happens. Our prosperity and our safety goes away.
You know, an amendment that would take very little effort to the Constitution to fix the very thing you're talking about, Mike, is to put a footnote by we the people and all men are created equal, put the same footnote and reference them to the Federalist Papers, number 2 by John Jay, where he very, very clearly outlines for the people that were looking to ratify the Constitution, it was explained in the Federalist Papers, that this Constitution, this country is being formed for the white race. Not just all the white race, the white race that shares their values, their faith, their customs, and their traditions, meaning those of the Christian faith, those of a believing faith. So it's already been defined. It just wasn't put into that document per se directly. So we just need to put the footnote in there, reference them back to the Federalist Papers, which were written by our founding fathers to explain the Constitution to the layman so they understood what they meant. And so you can't understand the Constitution if you don't have a copy of the Federalist Papers right next to it. So right. That, in the meantime, that's what I've been telling people. If you want to understand the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and how it actually applies, then you must have a copy of the Federalist Papers right there with you, because they go into much, much more detail about things like the right to keep and bear arms, who the people are that they're referring to, and the posterity. It's as clear as day. So
that's a very interesting phrase. People,
and you know, even Coach Dabomir has been talking about posterity lately. So this is permeating out there. It's percolating through the sheep right now. Even if they don't want to call themselves identity, even if they don't want to give any kind of credit to what our men have been discussing for a long time now, this idea is starting to resonate because they're now beginning to see that the enemy has taken over. And so the wake-up is in full swing. But in the meantime, I like what you're saying, Mike and Randy, both, as far as if we can't save the whole country, then we need to find locations that are willing to support our right to exist as white people and to reestablish ourselves and under Yahweh's directorship instead of this idiotic concept that a large centralized bank, religion, and government are needed. We don't need any of those. In fact, our Christ hated all three of those.
That's, again, I mean, we've talked about this before. This is why it's very important for us to have these roundtables, because, you know, when we all come together, we all have a different way of looking at things, explaining things, different perspectives, but together, we're a force, you know, we're a mighty force together.
Amen. And there's a verse in the Bible
that
says that.
We all have different perspectives.
Right. There's a verse in the Bible that even says that. When we come together in his name, we're invincible. Okay? Literally, we're
like
invincible.
Like our founding fathers, they came together for a common cause.
Exactly.
A common good. They put their differences aside and came together and dealt with the problem.
Yep.
That's where we're at.
Amen.
Well, and the thing is, what will we get asked as well, right? We're going to get asked, well, show me the precedent for this. Where has this happened before? Where has this been successful? You know, the founding of the colonies here was white people, you know, extracting themselves from other white people. Where has this happened before? Well, it's happened a lot, where a group of white people found a civilization, and then, as I call it, the Gibbs Meatats show up who want it, and, you know, then they start all of these riots, or, you know, oh, we just want equality, and then all of a sudden the whole thing turns to feces. Well, look at what the Vedic texts say about what happened with the Brahmin civilization up in the Punjabi area of northern India. Look at the genetics of those people. Look at the genetics. You have a very white-ish looking people who did interbreed with the brown population. But they're still considered the upper crust of that civilization. They're smarter, they're taller, they're more European looking. But that is the end result in that Indian civilization. The Vedic texts say, you know, the leaders of the Brahmins were walking around saying, you know, as Aryan men, oh, there's a lot of things running around the street here, but where are all the people? Where are we the people? Isn't that what's happening today? We have a nation today that has allowed the miscegenation of everything. It's not just its genetics, its laws, its morals, its values. And what do we have left? We have a small group of white people who are left who are saying, we don't want this anymore. We don't want this. Doesn't work. Why don't we learn? Well, what's left in India today, and even in the northern area that's more white, you know what you have left there? You have the remnants of a liberal people who said, no, we want to continue to live amongst the brown, what they called, and this is in their own text, the hybrid brown monkey people. We want to live amongst them. Well, what do you have? As our president has said, an S-hole nation. It's lost what made it great because it interbred with lesser people. Well, are we going to face that same fate? Are we going to say, no, I'd rather stick around and see my people blotted out from the face of the earth because I don't want to be called a name? Or do we do the hard thing that's going to cause a little bit of pain for a short period of time and say, no, we need to separate. We need to separate. Yeah, you're going to be called a name. You're going to be called a bunch of names. You may be threatened. You may have the government tell you, oh, no, you're our property. You're not going anywhere, and try to impose all these costs that make it impossible for you to go. Well, you're not property. You're not a slave. If you had to leave your home and maybe even some of your friends and family and say, look, I'm going to the new nation because you're going to be gone soon if you stick around here. It's like Lot's wife. She looked back and she said, oh, well, it was pretty, you know, it was pretty good down there, down in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, you know, why couldn't we stay? Well, then you get their fate. So, I mean, it's going to come down to that, right, gentlemen? People are going to have to decide, hey, these guys, whoever they are, stuck their neck out, and there's five counties that have all, you know, declared that they're a new nation. Let's go there. We're smart. We're talented. We're tough. You know how to do carpentry. You know how to do solar power. You know how to do, you know, repair cars. Let's go. They need us. Oh, no, no. I want to stay here. I want my football and my beer and my pizza. Okay. And you go. The best and the brightest and the toughest will leave.
Some of what Mike is talking about is, it's kind of reminded me of a little bit of what I read from I believe he was a senator from Pennsylvania. And believe it or not, this may surprise a lot of people, he was actually in the Republican Party. This was recorded in the Congressional Globe. I think he was a senator from Pennsylvania. I think his first name was Edgar. I'd have to go back and look. If I haven't sent you this pastor name, I need to get this to you. But he basically had laid out a scenario. This was back in the 1800s or sometime. Had basically laid out a scenario. You got these people in California, and basically a bunch of people, let's say, like from China, were to move in and basically take over. Are these people in California, are they basically just going to have to lay there and take it as they're basically being overwhelmed by a different people, different culture type thing? And even the senator had basically said that, you know, they don't have to just sit there and take it. Those, you know, I'm just kind of summarizing what he had said. But that goes in line with what Brother Mike is talking about here. We're being overwhelmed by a foreign people of a different culture. We don't just have to sit here and take it. You know, we just don't.
Yeah.
This is from a senator in Pennsylvania in the Republican Party. Now, of course, if somebody like that today in the Republican Party would say something, because they even referred to these people like of a mongrel race, even used that word, you know, he'd be kicked out of office and called a racist. And that was a Republican senator back then.
All right.
I need to get that to you, brother. I'm not sure if you've ever read that before, but it's very powerful.
No. And I'm gonna recommend...
From the guy that was in the Republican Party.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend a book.
Yeah, people in the Republican Party used to talk like that, believe it or not.
We used to have Congress people in Washington that belonged to the Klan because they understood what the Klan was really all about until the Jew destroyed it with propaganda and news. But
even Abraham Lincoln, which is the icon for the Republican Party, if only people really knew how Abraham Lincoln really felt about the slaves, right? The Republican Party today wouldn't probably use him as their icon. I'm just saying.
Well, no, that's right. The truth of the matter is that he made the statement that the black and white race would never live in peace and harmony together because they're too diametrically opposed.
Right. Now, you look at the Republican Party today, and they've been completely hijacked by communists as well, both parties.
Yeah, the communists are here. It's an insurgency.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want all the men out there to consider reading a book called Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secret of a Man's Soul by John Eldridge. I just finished it last night, and I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with him 1,000%, but he points out a lot of things about what it takes to be a man and how Christianity and feminism have destroyed our boys and stopped them from becoming men. And it's also a good lesson for the guys that are already up in age like we are on what the true meaning of being a man is. And he does a very good job of this, and he talks about the fact that our men, if they're left alone and they're not being browbeaten by the feminists and the communists, are wild at heart. And he shows biblically where our Christ and Yahweh himself are wild at heart too. Okay? So we've been manipulated by these communists to effeminize our men, and he has some very good points in the book on how to address this and overcome it and learn how to be men again. Because like you said, Randy, it takes warriors to win a war. Not effeminate men, not well-wishers, not philosophers, not professors at college. On the battlefield, you have to know how to be a man. And to win a battle and win a war, you have to know how to be a man. And this would be, I'm going to recommend this book as a start. It's not the end all, but it's a good start on mentally and spiritually becoming men again. Because our families, our children and grandchildren are depending on us. We have to, when the time comes, we have to step up to the plate and be men again.
Amen, amen. And I just want to go back to the point that I had made earlier about what happened in India. Folks, look at the condition of the nation of India today. All their own records and our records indicate that that's what happened. So think about it. All of you very bright, talented people of our race, you may think it would be easier for a time to just stick around here and you know, be under the umbrella of the, you know, the empire that is the U.S. government and continue to get your services and, you know, your football and, you know, these corrupt universities and what have you. But you know what the end is going to be. Your people are going to be eliminated. Look at India today. There are no Aryan pure-blooded people there. They're gone. Because the ones that said, hey, we're in danger, our civilization is collapsing, we need to get out of here. We've made a mistake. We let these people who are not our people intermingle with us and breed with some of us. We've got to get out of here. They're destroying what innately is our place. Everybody who stayed, look what they ended up with. Look at India today. It is the most corrupt, backwards, filthy place. These people feed rats. They worship rats. These gigantic rats. They have a temple that they use to feed these filthy creatures who then in the middle of the night go in and bite their kids and give them horrible diseases. Is that what you want? Is that what you want for your people? Do you want to be in... do you want to be a part of that, the collapse? Well, then stick around and have it a little cushier and a little easier for a time. But then when we're out in our nation thriving and building something great from scratch, you think about it. You think about it and say, man, I should have left. I should have went. Well, you're not bringing your, you know, mongrel kids with you at that point. And we don't want your football jerseys or your ways of thinking. We're not going to do this all over again. In the new nation, this is never going to happen again. Never. And it will be defended. And we will have our Creator who will be smiling upon us because we'll finally be doing the right thing by Him. So not perfect, not a utopia. We'll still be people. But all of the blessings that were promised to us will start to come because we will be listening, and the Father looks upon the heart. So do you want to be part of that? That may be a little bit more difficult at first as you start it up, or do you want to stick around here and receive the plagues and the punishments that you know are coming simply because you want an easier life for you now?
Amen to that. Hey, we got a comment from Ralph up in Canada. He said, from my missionary work during our Judeo days in Africa and Brazil, I can say that if we whites are not in charge, nothing gets done. So one of our audience has personal testimony, and I've talked to people that have done missionary work in Africa, and they said virtually the same thing. In fact, there's a lady that spent 25 years, she's almost like Dr. Livingston, 25 years of her life trying to evangelize and build hospitals and cities and towns and villages over in Africa. And when she got back, her first comment to the press was, the black people of Africa will never be a self-governing people. Never. So in her 25 years, there was no sign of hope that they would ever learn to be self-governing. And look at America, just in the years that I've been alive, all the money since the 60s that have been thrown at the minorities in this country, and yet they're still on the dole, okay? None of my ancestors got a handout when they came here. They went to work in the coal mines in Pennsylvania and spent their careers digging coal by hand out of those deep caves in the sides of mountains, many of them dying in there. So, you know, we gave handouts since the 60s. Here we are over 50 years later, and not a damn thing for what we've spent money on. Not one damn thing. They're just as poverty-stricken. Their hands are out for freebies constantly. They haven't added one shred of goodness to this nation, and they've been a gigantic suck on our resources, our police forces, and the crime rates. So this great Lyndon Baines Johnson, the Zionist hiding as an American, putting his New Deal on our heads and the Great Deal or whatever the hell he called it, Great Society or something like that, New Society, it's all a failure. Okay, we've had long enough to see that. If you have your eyes open, it's been a complete failure, and we do need to separate from this failure. It's going to die the natural death. Anybody that studies history knows this. This system is going to crash and burn in the very near future, and we need to get the hell away from it. We need to get in our lifeboats.
And even if these people were grateful for it, it's still an utter failure. Still an utter failure. And they're not grateful. Their leaders brag about raping our women as an act of insurrection and rebellion against the white man. I mean, look at all of the just open and blatant just, it's not hidden anymore. Just hostility. Look at the videos of Colin Flaherty. He doesn't suggest any solutions because he doesn't want to get taken down from YouTube and the other. But look at the amount of black hostility against the white man after all of this charity has been given. Now, if that's how a people that you've given everything to treats you,
it's never good enough.
How are they going to treat us when we're the minority in this country and no longer have the resources to give them that kind of lifestyle anymore? They blame us now. They blame us now. You wanted New York? You got it. It's a shithole. You wanted Philadelphia? You got it. It's a dump. You wanted Chicago? You wanted Detroit? You wanted all of these cities because you said you wanted a place that was yours, even though our people built it. And now we're the blame. We're to blame. Whites are to blame. Because even though you've got black police forces, black city councils, mostly black population, whitey is still to blame because you can't manage anything. So isn't that, gentlemen, isn't that indication enough? If you wanted to do double-blind, you know, controlled research studies to prove our theory was correct, how many more times does this have to happen before our people wake up and realize we're not meant to be mixed with them? We're not meant to be mixed with other peoples. It doesn't work. Even for the most bleeding heart, you know, big, well-intentioned liberal, you have to look at the evidence. It doesn't work.
Nope. One of our listeners wants to know, Mike, if you have an opinion on what's going on in Russia.
Can they be more specific?
They haven't. That was just basically it. I'm not sure what they mean by that. Maybe it's just in general.
So in general, that very quickly, early 1900s, 1917, as Solzhenitsyn very eloquently puts in all of his writings, the Russian Revolution was not Russian, and it was not a revolution. It wasn't white. It was a group of invaders, Jew Bolsheviks, who hated the Russian family and the white Russian people. And it went back to how they were put into Poland in their own communities, and they were excluded from parasiting the Russian people anymore. They were angry. Well, that vindictive, very powerful people, very wealthy people, took the resources that they had, and under the guise of promising a workers' paradise, they destroyed what was a white Russian Christian monarchy. It was a civilization that wasn't perfect, wasn't a utopia. It's a huge nation. It's the biggest nation on the planet. And it's very hard to manage, but the people, generally speaking, loved the Tsar and his family. Well, of course, the revolutionaries that the Jews are, you know, they turned it into a hellhole. You know, 60-plus million people in Russia were murdered, the best and the brightest white Russian Christian people and philosophers and people from the military were all murdered. 10 million Ukrainians were starved to death. But we're not allowed to talk about that. Long story short, when the Russian, when the communist system collapsed, gee, what a surprise. All these Jew oligarchs seemed to have control of all of the natural resources and the companies of the people of Russia. Gee, how did that happen? You mean in this workers' paradise where everybody was equal? Certain Jews ended up with the overwhelming percentage of the wealth of the country that belonged to the Russian people. Well, here you've got a guy named Putin who was inside the corrupt KGB and saw what happened, said, wait a second, I know how the Jews got control of all this stuff. And I'm going to take back the resources of the people of Russia and put them back in the hands of the people. So wait a second, you mean a white Christian man saw that an enemy was doing something to oppress and jeopardize his people, and he used his power righteously to step up and punish these criminals and make things right? Now, if that's what this person is referring to in their question, I think a lot of what Putin is doing is really great, but of course, the Jew media in the West demonizes him as a thug, even though, as you've told us, Dan, in the stories about the Red Mafia, that it's the Jew who's the thug every place they go.
Oh, yeah, they have a track record, okay? And I wanted to point something else out to the folks that you mentioned earlier about the reverse discrimination against white people, which is pandemic. I got this from my buddy that just retired from the Navy. His whole family is military, most of them Navy. And he had a cousin, a relative, that was up for a major promotion. He was a commander in the Navy. Fairly high-ranking officer, obviously. And he's part of a group of other officers that are applying for this battle-grade promotion, something that's a big deal to the officer corps. It means more prestige, more money, everything. And they have to work their ass off for it. They have to put in a lot of extra hours. They have to keep their qualifications up to snuff. And some admiral came in and gave them a talk right before the selection was going to be made. And he actually came out to this room full of predominantly white guys and said, if a minority applies for this, they're going to get it. So here's these guys that have been working their ass off for many months, and they're doing everything they can to keep their nose clean, show a good show, just like our guys are known for. And then to be told that a minority is going to get it simply because they're a minority. And sure enough, a black guy was given this promotion. So the men looked into his background and found out he was not putting in any extra time. In fact, he wasn't even putting in the requisite 40 hours a week. And his qualifications were in complete disarray, most of them out of date and missing quite a few of them. And yet he got the promotion. That's why we're dying as a nation, and we're the laughing stock of the world. We think we're the most powerful nation. We're the laughing stock of the world. How are you going to fight a war when you've been promoting within your military based on sex and color rather than talent? How do you think your military is going to rate against nations like Russia and China, where they still do it the old-fashioned way? You don't get a promotion unless you deserve it.
Well, that's what goes back to what Brother Mike was talking about, what was going on in Michigan. Same thing.
Exactly.
Well, the Chinese have a word. It's a derogatory term. It's a slur for us. It's called baizu. It's stupid white American that gives away his country.
Yeah.
Baizu. If you say that, a Chinese person, their head will snap around because you know the word that they call us. I mean, they know it.
It's like when the Jews call us goyim, same thing, right?
Same thing.
Yep.
Stupid cattle. That's what they think of us because we are behaving like stupid cattle. We're walking off towards the slaughterhouse, and we're too stupid to realize that that's where they're leading us. And we're too cowardly to stand up against it for our own good. It's just, would you say that word was buzai?
It's baizu.
Oh, baizu. Okay. Baizu. Unbelievable. Well, the Russians and the Soviets and the Bolsheviks said many years ago that we would fight each other to sell them the rope that they'll use to hang us. And we're doing exactly that. We're like lemmings headed over the cliff, and we don't have enough sense to know that our liars in the churches, the liars in government, the liars in the media have been selling us a bill of goods for a very long time, and we're ready to head over the cliff. Where are the lemming leaders that are saying, whoa, wait a minute, turn around, do you ever feel like you're up against a tidal wave coming at you? You're the only one on the beach trying to stop it from coming into the shoreline. Does it ever feel that way to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
I know it does to me. I think, oh, we did. Okay, I was going to say, oh, no, Mike's still there. All right. I thought we dropped him. Okay.
To fill in more about what you were saying about the situation in Russia, look at the way, even though the Orthodox Christian philosophy isn't exactly as ours is, what an absolute uproar that the Jew media just absolutely, they just cringe. They just, you know, they rend their garments when they see what looks like, just like the czars used to do. Do you mean a white Russian patriot who has a pair is actually aligning himself with the ancient, you know, religion of this people? And is saying, yes, we need to protect white Christian people all over the world. Well, could you imagine? That's the biggest country in the world, landmass wise. Could you imagine all white people who are fed up with this just packing up and going there? I mean, I could. I would in a second. You know, you're colluding with the Russians. What are you talking about? You mean white Christian people who want to protect their genetics and their culture and their religion and their heritage? Oh, what blasphemy. Unbelievable.
They want to hate the Russians. Yeah, they want us to hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know why the Jew would hate that is because he, as much as he hates to admit it, it's white people that keep the system going. And if we all went to Russia, Russia would soon become the powerhouse on this earth, and they would be stuck trying to make brown, black, and a few of the yellow people work for them and make it work out, and it won't, because they won't put up with their vanity and their pushing people around the way white people do. So if white people ever grow their stones back in their sacks and say, I've had enough of this crap, their world is going to change overnight. Because that's why they put so much time and money into the media and television and entertainment and the movies, was to propagandize white people and get us to buy all of their complete bullshit stories and theories about society and liberty and, equity for all and the whole universalism thing that they pump down our throats, when empirical evidence around you says it doesn't work. It's never worked. It's not working now in America, if you've got any kind of sense at all. So white people need to walk away from it. I think that's a great idea. I think you're right, Mike. If it's Russia, if it's someplace in another continent, I don't know at this point. But if I see a sign that says Father wants us to go there, I'll go there. I don't care where it's at. I've said that years ago, that's my promise. I'll go wherever you send me. I don't care. And our people need a place. We need a homeland again. We need to come together where sanity rules and common sense rules. And, you know, our children can and our wives can be at home and we can do what we have to do day to day knowing they're safe because the neighborhood watches out for each other because we're all family. Instead of now, you're not sure if you can let the wife go down the street to get a gallon of milk at the store, or somebody won't try to kill her or rape her. It's bullshit.
If white Christians were to rise up on a global level, where does the enemy run?
They can't.
Checkmate.
That's right. That's why I believe that the time is coming when the prophets told us that these false teachers called preachers in our whitewashed sepulchers called churches, there's a day coming when they'll be hunted down. The Bible actually says that. Hunted down, even by their own families. Their own families will help hunt these traitors to mankind down. for their lies and deceptions, leading the sheep to the slaughter. You know, when I was a young boy and I read those passages, I used to think to myself, man, that's a pretty nasty allegory there, leading the sheep off to the slaughter. And I looked around the church, you know, and I was only about 12 at the time, and I'm looking and that church is full of white people and, you know, we're all friends and neighbors and all that. I'm going, I don't get this, you know, leading them to the slaughter. And now that I look back, that's exactly where the clergy has been leading the churchgoers for decades, preparing them, softening them up, propagandizing them, feeding them the bullshit about the Jews being God's chosen, feeding them bullshit about Christ being a Jew, telling them that they got to obey government, setting them up for the slaughter.
Has anybody ever done any artwork based on that scripture? That would be interesting to have a visualization out there for people to see that. These actual creatures being hunted down. That would be great artwork. I don't know if anybody's ever done artwork like that, but if there's something that already exists, I would be interested in looking at that.
Yeah, that would be a good T-shirt to have, showing mobs of people.
You know, right, have the image with the scripture, you know, as a teaching aid to help wake people up. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen any artwork based on that scripture?
No.
I've not seen any.
I haven't, but maybe somebody will hear the message and do it. We've got some.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, we've got some good artists out there.
Okay.
Well, guys, anything else for today anyway? We know things could happen within 24 hours, as crazy as this world is, and, of course, we'll have an emergency broadcast if that happens. But in the meantime, anything else for today, or we'll pick it up with another broadcast?
There's something brewing, I think it was in California. Where is that? Trying to think.
Is it related to the fires, the directed energy fires?
No, it was just, it was a congresswoman was being exposed. I guess she was quite the party animal back in the day. She's all kinds of pictures of her being released, kissing other women, smoking marijuana.
Is she the one that the
Congresswoman Katie Hill. She's a new congresswoman on the Democrat Party. Yeah, she's being exposed right now.
She's the one that they've got.
Animal.
Yeah, they've got nude photographs of her over in England.
Yeah.
So.
Be careful what you do on social media, folks.
Yeah.
If a congressman one day, all those college pictures might come back to haunt you one day. Learn from that.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's what you have when. That's
supposedly
proof that
she had a Nazi tattoo on her, somebody was saying. I find that interesting. Some sort of a Nazi-related tattoo. That's just what I was reading in the news. I didn't actually see a picture of it.
But that's
kind of got a chuckle out of it.
That's proof positive we live in a cacistocracy.
Right.
Okay?
But I don't know anybody that would be a true Nazi would be out there also as a sexual deviant kissing other women. That doesn't go along, you know, along true Nazi ideology. That goes against it. So.
Yep.
But it's still funny watching these people in politics get, you know, destroyed by social media like this. I find it quite entertaining.
Well, they're going after people. If that were true, that she had that tattooed on her, that would explain why they're exposing her, where they don't expose people like Pelosi and Boxer and Schumer and all the rest of them that are just as guilty.
Yeah, I think they'd be more apt to expose her for something like that than versus, you know, kissing another woman, because that's like the trendy thing to do nowadays.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of trendy things that are. A few decades ago, people would have just laughed at you if you said that was going to trend as a trendy thing in America. So we are continuing to slide.
That's what they would say, right, brother? They would say that. Oh, that would never happen.
Well,
America would never vote a black president. America would never allow sexual deviance into politics. No way. Never happened. Not in the United States. Yeah, now look.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's pretty sad. Pretty sad. Well, Mike, anything else for today?
Nothing for today. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. It's always appreciated, and Yahweh bless your heart.
Yes, Yah bless. Thank you, Randy.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Randall, anything else?
Yeah, folks, you know the enemy wants to disarm you, so once again, for those out there that are a little hesitant, what are you waiting for? Make sure you go out there and buy the weapons that they really don't want you to have, and I do suggest the AR-15 with the high-capacity magazines, because after all, if they don't want you to have it, it's exactly what you need to buy. Praise Yahweh, and death to the New World Order.
Amen. Yeah, Yahweh bless, Randy. Thanks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, good words of wisdom there from our brothers. Definitely, I agree, never surrender, never give up your firearms under any circumstances. I don't give a damn what they say in the media or what they say in the government or any law they pass. That's the time when civil disobedience is not only your right, it becomes your duty. The Founding Fathers said that. State constitutions have it in writing. The Federal Constitution has it in writing. Again, it's not your prerequisite. It's not your suggestion. It is a duty, civil disobedience at that time, because disarming us is the last step in the Bolshevik insurgency. And once the weapons are gone, all hell will literally break loose. You think it's bad now, wait till you have no weapons to defend yourself. It will become quickly a Soviet-style Bolshevik Jew massacre at that point. Absolute massacre. So if you don't want it, then you fight and resist now. And we also want to lift up all our brothers and sisters, and also the subject in prayer as to where the Father wants us to reunite as a people and come out of this Babylonian hell that we find ourselves in. So that should be a prayer on all of our minds. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this day, this opportunity to share with one another. We thank you for the men that joined us today in the roundtable discussion. Bless their hearts, walk with them, give them guidance, give them strength, give them wisdom, help them see through the lies, and to also know your will. May they be in constant contact with you. You are the supreme commander. We also ask that you'd pour out your spirit, as Ezekiel told us, upon all this earth, that you would raise up a vast and mighty army of your sons to be manifested upon the earth, and that they would want to go forth and do battle with the wicked. And that would bring about a massive change on this earth. So the very next step we're looking for is the sons of Yahweh to be manifested in Ezekiel 37's army to come forth and be willing to fight. Learn how to be men again, just as the author says in the book, Wild at Heart. We are meant to be warriors. We are wild at heart. Stop listening to these effeminate pastors and teachers and professors. They're all part of the Bolshevik takeover. Learn to look inwardly towards your heart. And help us to do that, Father. Give us that original spirit that was in Adam. Yes, he made mistakes, but just like King David and Solomon and Joshua and Abraham, all of our great leaders, Elijah and Moses, give us those kind of hearts. Give us that kind of testosterone, that sort of vision, that sort of courage that doing right is more important than just plain living or existing. Again, we ask you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask that you forgive our sins, and we also ask that you protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.